1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 and 9 and 10. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, for by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to talk to you this morning about the church. It won't surprise you to hear that I'm pretty committed to the church. Tori might tell you that I'm a bit overcommitted to church. But it's true. For some reason, I've jettisoned my early dreams of developing a career in architecture, in design, or in social work for an idea of the church that has so captivated me that I couldn't let it go and had to give my life to it. Sometimes people look at me and think I'm foolish. Sometimes I look at myself and I think I'm foolish too. Obviously, I have a lot invested in the idea of church. So does it stack up? I had the deep privilege of being brought up in an enthusiastically Christian home. It's such a gift and I'm so grateful for it. And for us as a family, church wasn't just something we did or went to or volunteered for. Church was the world we lived in. There was me inside my family, inside our local church, inside the worldwide church, inside the story of God. Church was our worldview. And that made me different from my friends and at school and at university. It made me different from my cousins. It made me different from our neighbours. And it might make me different from you. It makes me different from Nicky Gumbel, who grew up in outside the church and in a family without belief in God. My parents were deeply committed Christians, not mere churchgoers, but whole life disciples who lived and breathed their faith every moment of the day. Church wasn't part of my life. I was part of the church. I was part of church life. I was woven into it, and it shaped everything about me, my story, my identity, my ethics, and my sense of purpose. My story, my understanding of how the world works, my philosophy, my theology, my identity, my core sense of who I am in the world, my ethics, my behaviour, what I thought was right and what I think is wrong, what is honourable and what is shameful. My purpose, my ideas of what was meaningful or my mission, all these things were shaped by church. Story, identity, ethics and purpose. Story, identity, ethics and purpose. This is what makes us human. This is what makes us who we are. Our story, our identity, our ethics and our purpose. And they're all connected. Change someone's story or worldview, their idea of who they are and where they come from and where we're headed, and change their identity, their sense of who they are, you also change the way that they behave, and you'll change their goals and their ambitions and their drives, the things that get them out of bed in the morning. To see yourself as a member of a church is way more important than we might think. It shapes everything about us. When I was a curate, I was part of a lively and rapidly growing church in Southfields and East Putney in London, just down the road from Wimbledon tennis courts. And it was a church called St. Michael's. In many ways, it was much like St. Mary's, in that it was large and vibrant, a kind of middle-class church of all ages. And I was fond of preaching, don't go to church, be the church. Don't just go to church, be the church. Behind this was a frustration that I felt towards many people that I saw, who I felt had what I might call an at-arm's length attitude to church. For them, church was great for community, it was great for getting to know people, it was great for their kids, it was full of nice people, it was great for Christmas and Easter, it was great to be part of something trying to make a difference. And every now and again, it was great to be able to listen to some interesting ideas and take some time to ponder and to pray with others. Church was a place to go to, a service to attend, a place you received things, an activity to participate in, and an organisation to join. And I think this is what church is for so many people in our country today. This doesn't mean that they actually want to go and be part or belong to church, but if you ask most people about church, they will tell you that it's a place you go to, it's a service you attend, a place you receive things, or an activity to participate in, and or an organisation to join. And this frustrates me still. It's way more important than that. Of course, I carry this frustration within me and not let it show all the time. Meeting people on Sundays, warmly greeting them, asking them how they are, hoping to connect, smiling on to them on their way out. You remember that when we used to do that together? But I'd be much more aware of this tension in me when it came to meeting parents who emailed me looking to see whether they could have their child or children baptised. We all know the deal, and you can understand the tension. There was me on one side, believing that church is a total whole life issue, and then there is the family on the other, looking for a service, for an event, a blessing, a baptism, a community to belong to, and a good place for the kids. Now, I've learned so much over the last 20 years about how to manage this expectation gap. And I have to say, I've become way more explicit and upfront about exactly what I believe. As those who will have come to one of my baptism information evenings, you'll know that I say it straight, that I leave it out there. I set out the vision for church. And I think I come over quite strong. Baptism is not about your family, I say. It's about the church family. And that's because baptism is the sign of the church, the marker of the church. It is the identity badge that says, I'm in. It's one of our most important activities because it's the moment a person or a family says as strongly as they can, I am totally committed. I am all in. I am no longer mine. I belong to Jesus. It's a sacrament. A sacrament is a token of allegiance. It's a sign that you've made an oath to someone else and given them your full allegiance. Like a wedding with a ring. A marriage is a sacrament. The moment when you make an oath to someone else, giving them your full allegiance and devotion, forsaking all others till death us do part. And the token of this is the ring. The same is true with baptism. It's a sacrament from the Latin sacramentum, which was used in the Roman world to describe the oath that was made in front of witnesses when a soldier wanted to give their allegiance or decided to give their allegiance to Caesar. Baptism is exactly the same. It's the sacramentum, it's the oath of allegiance we make in front of others that declares that we are giving our complete allegiance to Jesus Christ, Jesus the King. It's the ritual that perfectly expresses the fact that an individual or a family have accepted the story of Jesus as King, that they want to identify themselves as a member of Jesus' community, or better put, his body, that they're determined to behave in a way consistent with this declaration and follow the way of Jesus in their behaviours, picking up their cross and following him, denying themselves, and surrendering themselves totally to the will and purposes of Jesus in the world. It's a life and death moment. It's the moment when someone's story, identity, ethics, and purpose all change. Many of us started this way, but the trouble is that there's such a thing called church drift. Now, church drift is what happens when a group of people begin to drift away from being wholehearted, whole life, totally devoted disciples of Jesus, where church isn't something you go to, it's something you are, and that begins to slide ever so slightly into being a group that begins to see church as something you go to or volunteer for or help organise or a place you go to get something that you need. It starts gradually, but over time, when this takes root, churches drift further and further away from their true identity, their true ethics, and their true purpose. I wonder if you notice that in the world around us. Peter, the disciple of Jesus called the Rock, who wrote the letter that Claire read an extract from to us a moment ago, was also pretty committed to the church. He'd given his life for it. He'd suffered for it. He lived it. It shaped everything for him. And you can see this in how and what he writes in his letter. I encourage you to go and read the whole of 1 Peter and also read 2 Peter too. That's a great read. What you'll hear is a man dedicated, devoted to the church. Anyway, the verses that we had were these. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now that you've tasted the Lord is good, grow up in it. Long for maturity, for the food that will feed you. What's this about? It's about behaviour, about us being true to the story that we have accepted and following through on our allegiance that we have given to Christ. Now that we've tasted that he is good, let us follow through, ridding ourselves of everything that doesn't belong to him. And then as you come to him, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So what's this about? Well, it's about our identities as living stones. Not just any kind of stones in a wall, but living stones being built into a spiritual house, like the temple in Jerusalem, which I had the privilege of seeing just over a year ago. Imagine being one of these stones in the temple wall. You may be big, or you may be small. You may be at the bottom, or you may be at the top. But it's not about you. It's about the temple. It's about the whole thing. You are invisible, just one part of a much larger project. This building designed for one purpose, to be the dwelling place of God. So he goes on, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus the King. What's this about? It's about our purpose, our reason for existence, to be holy, to be set apart, to be a priesthood offering sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Now, priests, as we know, present the world to God and represent God to the world. This is what we're called to do, to bring people to God and represent God to people, to bring to God people in prayer and to hold them up before him and represent God's response to people towards them. And this is our priestly role, and it's one that we all share. We're all in this role together. We're all priests. All priests. There's no such thing as lay people in the kingdom of God. We're all priests in this temple landscape. Think on that for a moment. And then he finishes off with this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. can see it's not about individuals, it's about the group all together. You, plural, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you together may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love this last verse. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. This is the journey that we've been on these last 10 or 11 weeks as we've journeyed through the Alpha Course. The journey from being uncertain to being full of faith, from living for ourselves to living for King Jesus, from living in darkness to living in light, from being individuals, just trying to make the best of life that we can, to being part of a body of people, way bigger and more significant than our small lives and families, from being outside of the kingdom into being adopted into the people of God, the family of God, the temple of God, God's dwelling place. Why? So that we might declare, like priests, the greatness and goodness of God and give ourselves away to others, that we might show this in how we live, in how we work, and how we love our wives and our husbands, and how we give ourselves away, and how we forgive, and how we serve, and how we use our money for God's purposes rather than our own. This is total transformation. It's the story of allegiance and commitment to Jesus the King. Right now, due to a virus, we've been prevented from gathering. We can't go to church right now. I don't need to say don't go to church anymore, because few of us can. As much as I miss gathering, and oh how I miss gathering with others, the most important issue has never been that on its own. It's whether we live as if we are the church or not, whether we love as if we are the church or not, whether we pray as if we are the church or not, whether we worship like the priests we have been called to be or not, whether we are the church or not right now. So St. Mary's, don't ever just go to church. Be the church. Be the church now. Be the church over Christmas. Be the church in the new year, even when the vaccine is a way off. And be the church when the vaccine arrives. Be the church when we can gather again. Be the church. Be together the church. See yourself as the church. The world doesn't need our buildings or our services or activities. It needs a church. It needs a church being the church, a holy, distinct, fully committed, Jesus-centered community, baptized, fully immersed into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in that church, and it's that church that I gave up everything for. Let's be that church together, now and forever. Amen.